Good afternoon, everyone. My name is James Schaefer. I am a researcher at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. I'm very excited to be here today and talk to you about Percept, indoor navigation system for the blind and visually impaired. You may have heard about Percept and tried it in the past. This is something that we've been actively researching and developing for almost a decade now, but has evolved significantly over time, especially with the dawn of smartphone technology. We've kind of fine-tuned it into pretty close to being an actual product. And today, what I really would like to do is not only introduce Percept, but also encourage you to participate in a pilot we recently started with the MBTA, where you can use Percept in North Station, both the commuter rail and the subway station, and use that to wayfind within that environment. Let's kind of go into high level about what Percept is and get a better understanding of what's this capability. Our goal behind Percept is to enable blind and visually impaired individuals to independently navigate unfamiliar indoor environments. And Percept itself is an orientation aid. We are not seeking to replace or augment a mobility aid. And this was a design that we came across in the literature, but also when working with the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind, in particular, various certified orientation mobility specialists, both from the Boston and Springfield chapter, which is a little bit closer to UMass Amherst on our side. And to this date, we've had over 70 blind and visually impaired individuals use Percept at UMass Amherst, at Carroll Center for the Blind, as well as in North Station in the MBTA and Arlington Subway Station. And all of them were successful at using the system to navigate that space. And many of them had not been familiar with that environment, which I think is an important aspect of the test. A couple years ago, we went to the NFB, and they had an indoor navigation challenge. And Anil Lewis, who was the executive director of NFB, the Jurgens Institute, at the time said that the Percept system is the only indoor navigation system we have identified that provides detailed point-to-point descriptive navigation instructions within an indoor environment. And today, we still believe that holds true. There are indoor navigation systems that are coming up, certainly nothing that is mainstream and widely available but being piloted. But what we're seeing is we are the only system that's really providing detailed navigation instructions. And I'll touch upon and go into detail what that exactly means. What are the advantages that we're providing with Percept is, one, this is a true wayfinding solution, that we are providing you these detailed navigation instructions, but should you be disoriented in the environment, and especially in the MBTA during rush hour, you're moving through crowds of people, and it's easy to get turned around. And with Percept, it provides reorientation information to get you back on track to your destination so that you are never lost. There's also a pre-trip planning capability. So with Percept, even before going into that station, you can preview your route and go over those detailed navigation instructions. And then finally, and what we really want this to be, is independence, so that you can freely use public transit in unfamiliar venues that maybe you're just not confident in, or that really there's just too many barriers when it comes to accessibility that are present in a certain subway station. But with the context and information that Percept brings, that we will be able to overcome the barriers and those challenges present. One of our participants in a prior pilot has provided this lovely snippet quote, and I'm going to share that with you right now. I truly believe that Percept is the gateway to independence. Spontaneity is often an unreachable ideal for people like myself. I personally feel like I could go to places without much prior planning now, knowing that I would have complete independence within stations I have never been to. And this was quoted by Elise Tabor, who shared and said absolutely that I can use her name. How does Percept work? What really is it? I haven't revealed that part. So what I'm going to do is play an audio-video snippet of the system working in North Station. Before I go into this, one thing that I would like to say is this is absolutely a conversation. So don't feel shy at all. Ask as many questions, interrupt, pause, stop me. I really want to encourage participation. I'm happy at any point to answer any questions whatsoever. Okay, so I'm going to start up that audio track right now.
A visually impaired patron of the MBTA will now use Percept to navigate through North Station to board the Green Line subway train towards Lechmere. Larry is now approaching the Valenti Way entrance of North Station. Once inside, he will pull out his smartphone and open the Percept app. Using the app is simple. All Larry has to do is select the Green Line towards Lechmere as his destination and follow the instructions step by step to reach the subway platform.
And so, just as a note, when going into this application right now, that Larry is using VoiceOver and he's using an iPhone to run the Percept application. And we're starting from his home screen on the iPhone.
Yelp. Yelp. Percept. Percept. Main menu. Heading. Start journey in North Station Subway. Green and orange lines. Selected. Select destination. Green platform to Lechmere. Your current location is Valenti Way entrance. With the Valenti Way entrance to your back, walk straight ahead, heading northwest, until you reach the stairs. 20 feet away, you will hear the escalator noise. Select next instructions button.
By simply telling Percept where he would like to go, Larry now has detailed step-by-step navigation instructions to the subway platform.
Next instruction. But next instruction. Your current location is stairs. Go down 2 sets of stairs. Select next instructions button.
Percept is fully integrated with vision-free accessible services on both iOS and Android platforms. This allows Larry full use of Percept and many other apps without having to see what is on the screen.
Next instruction. But next instruction. With the stairs to your back, walk across the opening, heading north, until you reach the fair gates. 50 feet away, you will reach fair gates. Select next instructions button.
Subway stations can be complex, open, noisy, and crowded. But with Percept, you are never lost. Here, Larry has gotten off track and is now uncertain where to head next. He can receive reorientation instructions by simply shaking the phone and asking Percept, where am I?
Alert. Percept help menu. Where am I? Button. Where am I? Searching area for landmarks.
Within a few seconds, Percept provides reorientation instructions to get Larry back on track.
You are currently located in the southern unpaved lobby region. You have been traveling northeast. The Fairgate's unpaved side is about 10 feet to your 10 o'clock in the southwest direction. Head towards Fairgate's unpaid side. Select next instructions button.
With Percept, Larry is never lost. And anywhere within the station, he can receive reorientation instructions to get to his desired destination.
Next instruction button. Next instruction. Go through Fairgate's. With the Fairgate's to your back, there is green platform to Lechmere to your 10 o'clock direction. Walk across to the green platform to Lechmere to your 10 o'clock direction, heading southwest, 30 feet away. You will face the track. Select next instructions button.
Larry has almost reached the subway platform, but he wants to make sure that this is the platform for the green line towards Lechmere. By using the Where Am I feature, he can have the confidence that he is at the correct platform.
Alert. Percept help menu. Where am I? Button. Where am I? Searching area for landmarks. You have reached your destination, green to Lechmere. Select End Journey button to end the journey.
So that's a little snippet of Percept in the North Station subway.
When you do the Where Am I, what kind of technology does it use to kind of determine where you are in the venue?
We are using Bluetooth Low Energy, also known as iBeacon technology, in North Station. So that does mean for this system right now that we do need to go in ahead of time and deploy these Bluetooth tags throughout the station. So there is infrastructure that needs to be put into the station for that tracking of the user, or to be able to provide that rerouting information.
And also, I'm glad to see that this is on iOS. I think it was launched with Android, and maybe it was Android only for a while.
Yes, there was heavy feedback on why is it on our Android. And our goal is that it can be on any platform. That is our hope. Since it is a research project, we really want to stay in one domain, but that domain will be iPhone until it's refined enough and of course, in a production environment, we want it to be available and on as many platforms as possible.
So some human has to go into the station and record all these directions from every conceivable angle. How long did it take you to do one station?
That's what makes Percept unique, and what really differentiates Percept from another system is the fact that we digitally represent these stations, and we have a proprietary indoor navigation instruction generation algorithm that generates all of these instructions automatically. Certainly, so for example, for North Station, there are over 8,000 point-to-point unique navigation instructions. And if we hired a professional, say a certified orientation mobility specialist, Meg Robertson, for example, I think she would just throw the book at me and say, I'm not generating 8,000 instructions. It's just not scalable. And that's just one out of 140, 160 stations in the MBTA. So really what's unique about this system is we're able to provide that level of detail that we've heard in these recordings without having to manually craft them.
So the barrier there is, if you want to locate this to use iBeacon technology, you have to put receptors all over. Did you guys look at Wi-Fi? Did we use Wi-Fi to locate the horses?
So we have looked at Wi-Fi too. I think one of the nice things about Bluetooth Low Energy is, at least right now, for the subway configuration, there really isn't a wide deployment of Wi-Fi in most stations. So we can't take advantage of that, whereas many other places would use Wi-Fi. And so to then put Wi-Fi into these stations, you'll need to retrofit the station, move electricity. Yeah, at least from my understanding, that there's Wi-Fi maybe from the street that you can grab, but it's not within the station, so it's not enough for localization. And so these Bluetooth Low Energy, compared to a Wi-Fi hub, can be operated off a battery, and can be operated off a battery from anywhere from 2 to 10 years, depending on the model that you got, and they're cheap. So that's kind of why we went this route, because one of the first things that we talked about with the MBTA was, okay, you have to install things in our station. Do they require wire power? Because we'll be ready to show you the door right now, because it's very expensive to retrofit the electricity.
Are they putting those, or who's doing it then, if you want to go statewide or citywide?
It's a collaborative effort right now between the MBTA and the 5G Mobile Evolution Lab, which is the lab that I work in at UMass. My team and I will go in and using our tools survey and identify the optimal placement for these tags. And then we'll give a kind of a spec sheet for the MBTA engineers to then go and install the tags properly.
Do you have a methodology for when a tag fails, or is there an easy way to tell that a beacon is out?
There's two ways that we attack it. One is through a redundancy, so that we deploy with in mind that if a tag fails, the other tags in the area can compensate. So that if one or two or five tags go out, the system will still run. The other thing is that built into the application, we also are monitoring the tags, and so that we can passively report if a tag was to go down. This current deployment, some have been in the North Station since 2016, and North Station has received incredible amount of renovations. And so walls came down with tags on them and so forth. But what we saw is our deployment still withstood. And the other thing that's an important aspect, not just that the tags malfunction or go down, but what if they get vandalized? And so that was a very important challenge. When we were in, for example, the Arlington subway station for our pilot about 5 years ago, we had our tags about chest height. And they were drilled with 4-inch long bolts into solid concrete or steel. That didn't seem to be too challenging for those that wanted to remove the tags. They were vandalized and they were removed. So we had to figure out a different method. And the one that has seemed to really work is deploy the tags out of sight, out of mind. And so they're now not within reach of anyone but maybe a Celtics player. So hopefully if they're staying on the good side, the tags will remain intact. And we haven't experienced any vandalism issues with this new deployment paradigm.
Now, does this cover the subway part or also the commuter rail part?
So right now we are in subway, commuter, and the connector tunnel between both environments.
So in the app, you could specify a certain gate for the commuter rail thing?
So you can say, I want to go to track platforms 1 and 2 and receive those detailed navigation instructions to it.
How about other facilities like, you know, men's rooms, women's rooms, that kind of thing? Do you have those marked off?
In the commuter rail, those are marked off, yes.
What about if you're looking for the tracks for the Amtrak?
The Down Easter.
But thank you.
It and uses the same one of the track numbers. It should.
Yes.
So in theory, it should.
Yes, ma'am. It will be able to lead to those as well.
What about some of the vendors?
Right now, what we have in there is, for example, the commuter rail help desk, the TD box office, the commuter rail service center, the men's and women's restrooms, all of the platforms, as well as the stairways to go up into the garden for sporting events.
If somebody paints the walls in the station, is that messing up your database?
Right now, if they were to paint it, it doesn't necessarily mess up our database. But, you know, should it change a color, that's something that we would need to update. So if we were to convey a color, it's something that we would then just update that color in our database.
You gave directions, walk north. I'm not sure how helpful that is inside.
It's something that we receive feedback from many different people, and one of the things that we found is everyone has a unique way to navigate. And what we heard right there, we're kind of giving a combination of orientation information, whether it be cardinal or relative. And for the beta and for the trials, we were including both. But this is something that we're looking to customize. So for those that don't find cardinal information useful, they can just filter it out so it's not provided in the instructions. We right now have both sets of information included. And another question that I receive following up from that often is, well, I don't use clock face orientation. I heard that there was clock face orientation. How can we get around that? What we have now within the application is you can actually choose between having clock face or more of a traditional relative straight, left, right, ahead and a little to the left as your means for receiving relative navigation information.
The way this works, it doesn't sound like you need the orientation of the phone to be in any particular way. It sounds like it's because it's from step to step, it's oriented.
That is correct, yes.
You have plans to put it in all stations? What's the rollout?
I had mentioned that we have this beta with the MBTA, and so really they want to hear from the community and they want to know from the end users, hey, do you find it useful? Which is a prudent question for them to ask before they invest in something. That's what we're doing right now with the pilot, is to collect as much feedback from the community to see if this is a solution that really works for you. And then they're going to be deciding next steps. And this pilot in particular may not be that decision point, even if it's quite positive. You know, there are other steps that we have to make. It is a research project. I'm not representing some company with a fleet of engineers that are providing this as a service and trying to sell it. We really right now are caring so much about the user feedback and enhancing this and making it from a research perspective something that can really be a wayfinding solution for anyone in an unfamiliar environment.
Have you thought of deploying this in places like, for example, like the Prudential Center, where you have a whole bunch of different stores or malls or?
Absolutely. So we are open to many different types of environments. Also, we hear, why not Logan, the airport, or why not to a hospital? And so these are venues that we're actively exploring. It's a unique strategy, talking to the right people at the right time to be able to have them open to wanting to have a pilot within their space.
I mean, how expensive is it? Is it based on how many beacons you need, or how big, you know, how do you kind of, if something, a place we're interested, how do you kind of quote them what it's going to cost?
That's a great question. So right now, this is in the research space and not in the, okay, we have a business plan and this is the cost per square footage or per venue space. So I don't have that answer for you now, but it is something that we're hoping to have somewhere between 3 months to a year from now. It's something that we're working on.
So
yes.
Can you kind of customize it now for each place that you kind of look at, or is it funded now by the research so that I don't even have to pay?
Exactly. For now, we're doing funding through research grants.
Okay.
How does the app adjust for different noise levels in the environment? Like, and sometimes, they have those loud fans in the T, and other times, you know, when all the commuter rail people coming in at the same time as the T coming in, it's very loud, whereas other times it's not as loud.
Absolutely, and then you have the saxophone flares going, and it's a sensory deprivation. And with Percept, at any time, you can replay those navigation instructions. And so that's the solution we currently have employed. We've seen from others using it, they will have various types of earbuds, whether they be the bone ear conducting, so their ears are still open. Some still use the in-ear earbuds, and that's how they solve the problem. But it is true that should there be something incredibly noisy, you might have to pause and not be able to listen to it, but that information is still there once you are able to hear.
It's made even more difficult, I think, when you're hearing impaired. I mean, I wear a Bluetooth, for example. That is a big help so far as pulling in the sound. It's actually also good for talking to people without carrying the phone around in your hand. But in a station like that, yeah, I can see where that'd be a big problem.
The application is able to tell you where you are now. So one thing, let me describe the instruction page. We've entered the station, selected our journey, and say we're traveling to our outbound platform towards Lechmere. And we're now in the instruction screen where, when we were listening, the user was receiving these step-by-step navigation instructions. The title bar on the top of the application will say where you're navigating to. So we'll say navigating to the outbound platform towards Lechmere. After that is a heading that tells you what region and floor you are in that space. Say we're coming in through the Valenti Street entrance on the street level. It will be updated there. And as you move throughout the station, through the unpaid lobby on Valenti side to the paid side to the platform for Lechmere itself, that header is going to update and tell you on a high level what region you're in, what floor you're on. On top of that, as you're moving between these spaces, Percept is going to relate that information through voiceover, so that as you transition from the entrance and going down into the lobby, it's going to say, now you're in the Valenti Street lobby on unpaid side. And as you go through the fare gates, it's going to say you're on the paid side of the lobby. And then as you transition, it will then tell that you are in the outbound towards Lechmere on the green line.
Does the app require data connectivity to function, or is self-sustaining?
So the app itself, everything that you need is on the app. No internet or Wi-Fi is necessary to run the application. So it uses the Bluetooth, and it's just using the Bluetooth to communicate with the tags in the station. So that digital representation of the station that we talked about for these navigation instructions, we have that all within a local database in the application.
That means we cannot use Bluetooth headset or Bluetooth, you know?
You can use both simultaneously on the iPhones. You are able to use your Bluetooth headset and the tags at the same time.
So when you get through all 170 stations, all that data is in my phone?
Yes. So for example, how much space does North Station take? So North Station is one of the larger stations within the MBTA, and that is 35 megabytes. So if we're thinking about it from a perspective, you know, even if we were to say every station was the size of North Station and times it by 140, we're looking at a relatively on par with other application size. And we haven't even optimized the space. We could significantly shrink that. But because it, for us at this point, isn't a worry, the footprint of this application is still small on your phone, even to scale to the entire subway station.
Do you have plans to do self-station?
That is something that we absolutely would want to do, and this is something that we're working with the MBTA to see what would be the next steps. Those have not been ironed out, but we're looking at certainly other stations, and it's of course also dependent on the feedback that they receive on this beta. So right now, it's in North Station. The Arlington pilot is not available for the study, so it's strictly just North Station for this pilot. So in order to participate, you need to sign a consent form, which I've brought with me today, and I can go over all the information that's provided within that consent form.
I'd like to go and check how it works.
And I would love your feedback. If we sign that paperwork, I will need your signature and also your email. Then you will receive an invite from me to have the application on your smartphone device.
As far as if the technology changes for these, you know, iBeacons, is this thing scalable so you can change the technology at a future time, say to Wi-Fi or something else?
The way that Percept is designed is it is modularized. You know, say all of a sudden Google, Apple, Nokia comes out with a true indoor wayfinding or localization solution where people are in an indoor environment. If that exists, we can just plug that into our Percept navigation instruction, because what the navigation instructions take is a position in that venue. So if we can get that position from an external source, we can then generate the navigation instructions. And so we can, because that doesn't exist, this is something that's kind of like everyone is trying to solve, because if you can solve this, it's an amazing opportunity to make a lot of money. The way that we've solved it, you know, it's not perfect, right? Well, I'm not able to say within a centimeter where you are and which way you're facing, but I'm able to work within the constraints of how these instructions work to provide a reliable location so that I can tell you where you need to go in the environment. But we can use any other localization technology.
Is there a way to set a particular point? Say if you found something you wanted to find again, a popcorn vendor or, you know, a soda machine, is there a way to put an actual point of interest in this,
yeah. You are correct. We do not have that, but I think that's a great recommendation and something that certainly we can look into adding as a future feature.
There's two competing systems out there. I wonder if you want to comment on how yours stacks up. The MBTA is paying for IRA to be available in all their T stations. This is an actual human being that looks through a camera and sees what you see and can talk to you. And the other thing is a system to locate outdoor bus stops where precise information is provided by volunteers who just put the instructions into the app. Who's going to come out on the end as the best solution?
That's a great question. So let's talk about IRA, these assistants on the other end that are helping you. And one, my understanding is the MBTA is not paying for IRA right now. That it is a pilot and it's being offered for free for 6 months, I believe. There's several ways that I look at it. One, that this requires an internet connection. So if you're in specific parts of a subway station that does not have internet connection, it may not work. Two, you're relaying video, which requires a high data speed connection. Also, it's not just that is internet available, is it a strong enough connection to relay this video? And I don't know if anyone has tried IRA and had those challenges, but for me who has not tried it, I see that those are a couple of issues, especially in some areas within North Station, which is why we have it so that you can have everything offline. The next thing is when I started this project and came into North Station, I was lost. I had no idea where I was going and I had to ask for help. There's a person on the other side of that line that may not be from Boston, that may not have been in North Station, and they're providing you wayfinding information. So are they going to have an experience like myself, where they are not going to be able to relate to you in a more complex setting, or are they going to be able to navigate you? And again, I've not tried IRA personally. These are just comments from my own personal experience where I think it could be a challenge in a complex environment. And then,
Jeff, as an IRA user, I think you're absolutely right. It can go either way.
it can be really, really good, or it can be really, really awful. What is so intriguing to me about your system is that you don't need the internet connection, because as much as I have used Aira well in situations where I had no idea where it was, I have also seen it fail. And that's just life.
The other advantage of your system is that it's repeatable. You know, depending on your IRA agent, as you said, you're starting from scratch. Every person going through there starts from scratch again. So this is basically, I'm not sure if the term is correct, but repeatable. So it's done once, and everyone can access the same information with the same reliability and all that kind of stuff. But IRA, it's all dependent on the agent.
Yeah. You know, being the former New Yorker, growing up in New York, you know, we grew up on the subway system. And the whole thing about the IRA is I can understand how difficult that would be for someone who does not have local knowledge, just jump into your life and try and guide you through a system like that. So,
yes.
Yeah.
I think there's another issue, too, and that is one of the beauties of your system is that it is offering you complete independence. It's just you and the machine, whereas IRA has to bring a volunteer and another person into the situation, and you're sort of independent.
I think the points are good about where the IRA agent may not know really where to go, but one good thing is that the T has largely deployed cell phone service, so you should theoretically get a good cell phone. So I think they work with the carriers to get, not Wi-Fi, but cell phone service in all these stations to interact.
I would also assume, maybe I'm wrong, that the IRA representatives have ready access to reference material about the station.
Exactly. Yeah, I find that to be more of a curse than anything else.
Yeah, yeah.
When it comes to the subway, I think you want real experience. Yeah, you want real physical. Yeah. I mean, I think the most dangerous thing in the world is a subway map.
Yeah. All right, for those of us who use IRA, if you're using a headset or a speaker and you're listening to IRA and you have, just because life is what it is, a day where the connection between you and your agent is not good, there is nothing that's going to make that better, no matter how good your agent is. And that's one of the advantages of this precept. You have one less connection to worry about for volume, for clarity. Look, I use IRA all the time when I don't know where I am. But there are times when even doing that means it can be a challenge.
You never know if it's going to work.
Right. And the other thing is that, you know, the IRA agent to tell where you are is starting to, has to look around for, you know, signage. And as we all know, a lot of the signage in Massachusetts is pretty poor. So if it has to look around, and we've had situations where we've been, you know, even though we knew we were going more or less the right direction, they've had us turn around, you know, numerous times till they could find where they were on their maps.
It sounds to me like an argument between, is it better to use a guide dog or a cane or a personal assistance to travel around? I think all of the tools in the toolbox are extremely useful in their appropriate application. So I hate to make anything, I mean, there may be things you may not be, when this system isn't updated after quickly enough, there's information that's going to change. You can always find the pros and cons of everything. I think it's great to use all the tools you can find and find which one works the best.
And I don't see them as competition for each other.
No.
Right. No. Exactly. I think that's my point to Jeffrey. I don't think they are. I think they both offer different options.
Right. And in fact, you may actually use both.
When you practically have both together, try both, then we can really compare and see which is better for us.
The trouble, I think, with your system, the downside is the more you're able to spread it out and get it into different places, the more people you're going to have researching and giving you feedback. But because, I mean, for example, I almost never go to North Station. So I'm not really going to be able to participate in that until or unless I'm in North Station. Whereas the more stations you're covering, the more all of us are going to be able to go from place to place. You know, if necessary, compare one station to another, but at least see how workable it is and give you quicker feedback.
And then you plan to integrate indoor navigation. Let's say I have an application for outdoor navigation. I get to the station and switch it back to indoor. Are you integrating?
So we don't have another solution or a prospective outdoor solution to integrate to. It is something that, you know, someone could, you know, use Google Maps, transition to this station, and then open up Percept to then be in that station, but it is closing one app right now and opening the other.
I don't use North Station a lot, but when I do use it, I would love something like this. I probably use it two or three times a year, but I could really see this as working. So say I say to you, all right, I'm going to be coming into North Station and I want to check this out. Where, in theory, as this is set up, does the app start from? If I am, for example, on the green line or the orange line, and I'm going to get off at North Station, could I, in theory, start from where I get off the train?
Absolutely. You can start from anywhere within that space. And so what happens is you open up the application wherever you are in the station, and then it will first figure out where you are. And so we'll say, okay, you're in the North Station, and we'll say either the subway or the commuter, or even say you open up in the connector tunnel, and we'll tell you you're in the connector tunnel. Then it will say what floor you're on. So if you're, you know, boarding from Oak Grove, it will say you're on the underground level 2. And then it will say what platform, if you're on a platform, or what region. So if you're coming from Oak Grove platform, it will say you're on the Oak Grove platform. And then from there, just say where you would like to go. And you select that destination, and we'll receive those detailed point-to-point instructions. You are not confined or restricted to where you start. You know, say you had a phone call and you had to close the, you know, switch the application, go somewhere else, and now you're in the middle of the lobby. You can resume and start a new journey just from the lobby if you wanted. You aren't restricted in any way.
Somewhere we give some direction when we are near, which entrance I'm near to. You know, I cannot see I'm at the, you know, which side I'm entering to the train station, on the commuter train side or on the, you know, the subway side.
Right now, we're not explicit in every region. Like, say, you know, you're on the Oak Grove platform, but you're closer to the Valenti side. But so yeah, when you're inside the station in the Oak Grove platform, it doesn't say, oh, you're near the Valenti or Causeway side. But I think that's a future feature that we can add.
What I'm saying, if you have any beacon near the outside, because it should give some direction of which entrance I'm taking now, you know, going to the station. So it gives me some direction so that I go to walk that side when I'm entering the station.
Out, how to get into the station,
yeah, right.
Excuse
from
me.
Entering into the station.
We do not provide an outdoor wayfinding solution. We are strictly providing an indoor wayfinding solution. However, because of where the beacons are installed at the entrances, you will receive that you're, you know, nearby the station, and it will say what entrance it is, whether it be Valenti, Causeway, or even on the other side of Causeway, there's the elevator access. It will say you're near that entrance or the stair access.
So you
side.
Can turn it on. You can turn it on anywhere near the station.
That is correct.
Yeah,
if it can pick up the tag, it will at least relate that information of what you're nearby, but it will not say how to get into that door. That's all I want to make sure that is clear. So it's truly not intended for outdoor use, but you could use it that way to at least know, are you near it, and what entrance you are close to.
I'm so impressed at how well thought out this project is. And listening to those instructions, I think they were extremely well done, and I have confidence that I would have found my way using your app. But I have a few questions. The first one is, you really, I think, have solved the problem to a great degree of how to get immense amounts of instruction into the app in a very efficient, cost-effective manner. But you haven't really told us how you get the information about the environment in there in the first place. Are you relying on places that have maps on the internet of their environment, or how are you building the environment of that station before you are even able to generate instructions?
So right now, say for example, North Station, we worked with the MBTA to obtain the blueprints for the North Station. And we have a number of ways that we analyze that blueprint to take information about that station to generate the instructions. But of course, you can't get everything from a blueprint, and the layouts and everything change. So we do also have to go into the station and perform a survey on site, just to make sure that we're getting as much information, because how the instructions are conveyed to you, it's multimodal. Right, we're using audio, we're using smell, and then tactile. And so not all of that is going to be in that blueprint. So we survey that station to also obtain that information. information and make sure that we're conveying that level of detail. And then after we've done performing that survey, we can then input that into our algorithm to generate the detailed navigation instructions.
In order to make this navigational system work, while the person is using the app, you have to collect information in real time. So you have to collect what beacon they're looking at, which is easy because every beacon has its coordinates. You have to know what beacon they're closest to, so you have to collect signal strength, I would assume. But also, let's say you're walking down a platform that's a double-edged platform with a track on each side. One thing a blind person has a real problem with, especially if they're cane users, is walking a straight line. I believe that you could do this. I'm sure you probably don't do this yet, but I think it would be useful to, when you're on a platform that has tracks on either side, or even if it has tracks on one side, but certainly on both sides, to try to indicate by a tone or something like that, such as when you get on the platform, you play a tone that says, when you hear this tone, you're walking straight. If you hear any other tone to the left or right, or lower pitch means you're turning left, right pitch means you're veering right. So you can get back to make sure that you're walking straight so that you don't have to rely on whether the station has tactile edges or anything like that. Are you able to collect enough positional information to make that happen, or would you need something like the new Bose glasses with the sensors in the head or something like that?
You're right. It is not in our application right now. How we would go about solving it, it is possible that we could, for example, solve that using a computer vision technique, especially those tactile paths along the platform itself are very distinct, and that through the smartphone we could able to detect it. But again, that might not be the ideal solution, depending, well, what if you want to put the phone in your pocket? Then that's not a great solution. My answer is, it's something that would require myself and the team of PhD and graduate students and my director, Professor Oregon's, to kind of sit down and figure out what is the best solution, and is it something that we can leverage using the current technology in the phone as well as the Bluetooth tags in the station, or is it something that requires an additional deployment? I really don't.
So if you were to put Bluetooth beacons down the sides of a double-edged platform, for example, that wouldn't necessarily have to convey any instruction, couldn't you interrogate the iPhone compass and then relate that to the positions of a beacon on the person's right side and left side as they're walking along to verify how they're traveling down that platform?
What we've experienced within indoor environments, especially within the subway station, is that the compass is unreliable. Because of that, we are hesitant to provide that information because we feel it's better to not include information that could potentially be wrong, creating a false positive is what we call it, than to provide that information and have it work some of the time. Because then you just don't develop a trust for using the system. That's been our approach, and that's one of the reasons why we don't use the compass right now, because I can tell it's wrong if I have another tool to show me, oh, this is the true north. But if I'm just using it without that, then I don't know if it's wrong or not.
Am I correct that you collect signal strength as well as coordinates to show how close a person is to a specific beacon?
Yes, you are, sir.
That might be able to be utilized in certain situations, such as a platform, whereas if you are on a platform, the beacons on the platform, you know, are lower powered, and maybe, I don't know if there's a way to turn the Bluetooth signal on the iPhone to vary its power level. But if you made that happen, it might be easier to tell based on the beacon on the right and the beacon on the left of where the person is at the moment, you know, with a little bit of motion that they're veering. I think it's possible. I don't think it's easy.
Exactly. And I think it's a great suggestion. And it's a matter of kind of getting our hands dirty and seeing what works well. And I'm sorry I don't have a concrete answer. It's a great research question.
I have a quick question about your demo.
Yes, sir.
And I don't know the station well enough, but demo, you got down to the bottom of the stairs. I think you're at the platform level. Green line, and you're going to the leech mirror. So you, I believe, give a direction of 10 o'clock direction, which is a little off to the left. Are you doing that because you're trying to get the person to, I don't know if that's a center platform or not, but is that why you're trying to rear them off to one side of the platform? Or are you actually going straight towards the edge of the pit at that point? Or I don't know if you know a position.
So say we're now coming through the fare gates. If we were to just take a very sharp 9 o'clock with the fare gates to our back, that's the beginning of the platform. And then it just continues to the 10, 11, 12. So it goes in that direction for about 300 feet. So that's the beginning of the platform. And then, say, if we're still with the fare gates to our back and we're looking at our 11 o'clock, there's now an escalator there. And that goes down another level. And then there are green and orange lines there. And then to our 2 o'clock is another escalator that's one way, that's coming from an orange line to Oak Grove on the other side. And then to our 3 o'clock is another set of stairs that is the way to go to Oak Grove if you wanted to go down to it. So there's kind of, in that clock face, a lot of, it's a major decision point. And so why do we choose, say, 10 o'clock versus 9 o'clock? It's just we're pushing you a little bit further along the platform. And then the other thing is that it relates, it actually wasn't in that sound clip, but now, based on feedback, the train doesn't actually stop there. It stops another 100 feet forward. And so now it will say that you've reached the platform, but to board the train, you need to continue another 100 feet, and then we'll tell you when you're in the right area.
The instructions you may want to indicate that you're coming in at an angle, so that
people understand the 10. Yeah,
that's right, because you're coming in at an angle, because I think in the instructions it says the train is basically in front of you now. It really isn't. It's actually in a way coming from your left. You actually need to turn eventually to get into the. And I was thinking, some people who aren't very good at tactile, I'm assuming there's a tactile marking there, but in case they don't notice, they may just kind of keep on going, figuring they're going to walk to the edge, looking for the edge, but in reality, one of their feet is going to go off the edge.
That's a good point.
I want to at least think a little bit on that.
When you did the clock face, I thought that was very exact and very good navigational tool, but it also suggested to me at the same time that there's going to be a lot of competition with different areas and different places. And if people don't know the station at all, they're not going to understand what that's all about.
It's also a wonderful thing that you can look at your trip before you ever go, because you can learn a lot of it, a lot of what you're walking into that way, so that when you're there, you already have a reasonable idea.
How many beacons actually are you using at the now station?
That's under 300. But remember that this is both the commuter rail, tunnel, and the subway.
On
all three floors. For a prior pilot, we didn't have it open like this, where independently you can use the application. It was more observational, where I would be with you, ask you to go to these places, and then I would observe how effective Percept was at providing that wayfinding. What happened after those that were familiar with it, because we would use the app for about one hour in both environments, that the individual started building a mental map and didn't even need to rely on the detailed instructions anymore. They were using just that high level. Oh, you're on this platform. Oh, you've now moved into the lobby, and we're kind of able to just use the high level to understand that their bearings to get around. So I think there's many ways that you can use the tool, and it was exciting for me to see that the tool's not teaching you to be dependent on it, but can even give you that ability to generate your own mental map so that you don't need to use it unless you have to rely on it.
Should I then go over the consent form then?
Yeah, you can do it, sure.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, so this is the consent form for participation in the research study at the North Station in Boston, Massachusetts. What is this form? It is an informed consent form. It will give you information about the study so you can make an informed decision about participating. Who is eligible to participate? Individuals who are 18 years or older that own an iPhone 4S or newer generation iPhone. Visually impaired volunteers should not have any further complication restricting physical or mental ability. Also, they should have received some degree of orientation mobility training from a certified orientation and mobility instructor. Who is sponsoring the study? The Massachusetts Department of Transportation, MassDOT. What is the purpose of the study? You've been asked to participate in the study because we would like to test how the Percept system developed at UMass will help visually impaired to navigate in large transportation hubs. The purpose of this study is to assist the MBTA to evaluate Percept's sustainability for MBTA system-wide deployment. Where will this study take place, and how long will it last? This study will take place at the North Station in Boston, Massachusetts. You will be asked to visit North Station when it is open, at least once at a time that is convenient for you. We recommend giving yourself an hour to evaluate Percept, but you are free to use Percept for as little or as much as you would like. Following your evaluation of Percept, we will schedule a qualitative evaluation regarding your experience over the phone or in person. This evaluation should take up to 30 minutes. After the evaluation, should you choose to continue to use Percept, we will schedule follow-up evaluations for each month you are using the app until the study ends on September 30th, 2019. What is the Percept system? The Percept system includes the following main components. Environment. We will deploy Percept tags throughout the building at landmarks such as entrances, elevators, restrooms, escalators. The user will interact with these tags using their phone. These are those Bluetooth, low energy, or iBeacons. Client device. An iPhone that runs Percept application. The client uses the device to enter the desired destination and receives navigation instructions to the selected destination. What will I be asked to do? If you volunteer to participate in the study, you will be asked to provide your email address in order to receive a link to download the Percept application on your personal iPhone. Then you will follow the tutorial within the application to familiarize yourself with how to use Percept. Afterwards, you will be asked to travel to North Station at a time that is open and convenient for you to evaluate Percept application. Once at North Station, you will use the Percept application to navigate to destinations of your choice from within the station. There is no limit placed on how long you can use Percept or where you should navigate to in North Station. However, keep in mind that Percept is only available within North Station, and should you choose to leave North Station, Percept will be unable to assist you. During your evaluation of Percept, your interactions within the app are being recorded. These interactions include the destinations you selected, navigation instructions provided to you, your location data from within North Station, and should the app have a failure, a crash report is generated. This information captured is strictly from within the Percept app, and no behavior outside the application is monitored or recorded. This recorded data is electronically sent to study personnel when they complete their navigation task and does not personally identify you. This information is not shared with any external sources, whether it be from being sold, which we would never do in our lab, or just like to directly hand off this information to the MBTA. It is just internal study purposes. Following your visit, we will schedule qualitative evaluation that will take up 30 minutes regarding your experience, and this will be done over the phone or in person. 8. Are there any risks or benefits associated with participation? Minimal risk or discomfort is expected. You may become fatigued or frustrated. At any point during the trial session, you can choose to stop your participation in the trial without penalty. Percept is an orientation aid that is intended to complement your orientation and mobility skills. You may find Percept does not work for you, or that this technology may fail during use. In these circumstances, you should be prepared to rely on your orientation and mobility skills to navigate North Station. Also, please note that Percept will be unable to provide orientation should you leave North Station. The main risk in this study is the potential loss of privacy. We do our utmost to ensure confidentiality. We will assign each participant a number. This list matching names and numbers will be kept locked in files at UMass. In terms of benefits, you will be exposed to the state-of-the-art technology developed at UMass that will facilitate navigation of visually impaired individuals in an unfamiliar indoor environment. Your participation will help us advance the technology being tested to provide mobility assistance to the visually impaired. Your invaluable feedback in the study will help inform the MBTA whether or not they should adopt Percept system-wide. This would take the MBTA one of the first transit authorities in the world to adopt a real-time navigation system for the blind and visually impaired. The availability of such an affordable and accurate indoor navigation system can help the MBTA blind and visually impaired patrons overcome barriers in navigating a complex transit venue and promote an equitable culture and serves patrons fairly. You may realize through your usage of Percept system that it may not benefit you in navigating unfamiliar environments. Will I receive any payments for taking part in the study? No compensation is provided for the study. What if I refuse to give or withdraw my permission? You do not have to be in the study if you do not want to. If you'd agree to be in the study but later change your mind, you may drop out at any time. There are no penalties or consequences of any kind if you decide that you do not want to participate. What if I am injured? The University of Massachusetts at Amherst does not have a program for compensating subjects for injury or complications related to human subject research, but the study personnel will assist you in getting treatment. And then finally is the signature section.
James, if you want to give us any updates, I'd be happy to post them to the list. And this one, thank you very much. much for coming out here today. Thank you. It's very interesting.